Hi, my name is Stephen. I'm 45 years old. My favourite film is No Country for Old Men with Javier Bardem. Welcome to the Podyssey. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Podyssey, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the greatest little independent cinema on the planet, the Odyssey in St Albans. I'm Neil Roger from Mix 92.6 FM. Hello and welcome to the August episode of the Podyssey. It's unbelievable that it's been a month. I'm here with Nicholas De Bellis and Roberto Silva from the Odyssey Cinema in St Albans. Hot day, boys.
Very.
Roasting. It's nicely air conditioning in here, though.
It is air conditioning in here, like it is in the Odyssey Cinema, should point out. If you're thinking of going to see a film this summer, do not let the heat put you off. It's lovely in air conditioning there.
If you're feeling a bit sweaty at home, come and join the Ice Palace at the Odyssey.
Right, chaps, what have you seen at the Odyssey in the last month or so?
Well, I saw a really great film a couple of weeks ago called Riddle of Fire. Unfortunately, it was only a one-off screening, but it was a great coming-of-age story, but with a modern sort of twist. It had like a timeless feel to it. It's all very like bleached or sun-soaked effects and colours in it, but it's got a really nice, like, touching just coming-of-age story about three kids who get together and they their mum is sick, so they want to bake them a blueberry pie, and to get these ingredients for a blueberry pie they have to infiltrate a company and all sorts of things, and they ride their bikes in like a really like Oregonian, I don't know if that's the right word, but like very woodland sort of area. And then they meet a little girl later on and her parents are like a witch, and it has really fantastical, really like charismatic and creative, it's the most creative thing I've seen in a while, bordering on, you know, obviously the fantasy element of it, but it was really refreshing to see, and I 100% would recommend it to anyone.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
Might be able to watch it.
Really good. Yeah. I'm really sad I missed that one. I was away, unfortunately, but yeah, look for it online
somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be out soon. Roberto, what didn't you miss? What have you seen?
I saw La Chimera, which is an Italian film by a director called it looks like Alice to us, but it's apparently Alice Rohrwacher, and it starred Josh O'Connor, who was actually in Challengers recently. And it was about a guy who was a kind of a grave robber in 80s Italy, I believe. I think they're actually referred to as, I think the Italian word is tumoroli.
Very nice.
I don't know if that was a good pronunciation, but but he kind of had, it kind of takes place at the period of time when there's a lot of these people selling like kind of sacred artifacts from the Etruscan tombs on the black market. And Josh O'Connor's character has the ability to like find these with a dowsing rod.
Yeah.
And it kind of delves into how he eventually realizes the kind of moral ambiguity of what he's doing. I really liked it. I think you've seen it as well. I think you actually might have liked it a bit more than me. For me, I felt it took a bit to get going for me, but once it did, I really enjoyed like what it was kind of, what the story was about and what the character was kind of going through in the end. How about you?
I definitely agree with you that I think it took a little bit longer to get where I think it was going to go. However, it was sort of like a surreal movie to begin with. It has like these really weird like framings and sounds throughout it as well. It has like almost like dream sequences, like it's shot almost like a dream. And to me, it actually felt like the character wasn't like, I couldn't tell what was true and what was not true in some places, to a point. And that was a really good movie too. Yeah. I think it's on Mubi or a Curzon film, I believe. Yeah. So definitely check that one out as well. It's an English mix as well, so you won't have to struggle with reading the whole time if you're not a fan of subtitled movies.
Fair play, Les, you've not let me down. That is two niche and very well-explained films. And I should point out that we'll be talking superhero films, so it's not all going to be niche films in this podcast. Yeah. We are going very mainstream soon. Before we cut to a little break, thank you, listener Stephen, for the intro. No Country for Old Men. Good film, right?
Great movie.
I can write you an essay on that film, and I did. I wrote an essay. No, I'm joking. I did that film for my film studies class when I was doing that in sixth form. So that was a film. I'm quite familiar with it.
So you've watched it about 10 times.
I've seen it.
Did that ruin
times.
It for you?
No, I'm planning to go. I've been planning to go back to it recently. Actually, I've been going through the funny Coen Brothers films, and now I'm like, no, let's go back to the gritty stuff.
It's dark, isn't it? Because I think I really enjoyed it, and also I made the mistake, if that's the right way to put it, of thinking, oh, it's a Coen Brothers film. It's going to be kind of, you know,
Oh,
it's the Big
people
Lebowski.
Running around a bit daftly and stuff. And it's so dark. And that's, of course, Javier Bardem. That's where we all
definitely
met him
yeah,
for the first
yeah.
time.
I mean, it was funny for me because I'd seen Skyfall, and then more recently to that, I'd seen...
He is so good in that.
Yeah. I'd seen the Pirates of the Caribbean film he was in. Oh, and, like, man. Watching those two and then going to that was, like... I mean, he's already a villain in both of those, but then seeing that, he's like, actually, he's so terrifying.
He's so terrifying, just relentless, isn't he?
And just the way that film does, like, the violence and stuff, I haven't really seen anything like it, especially in, like, American cinema. It's, like, very just to the point, boom, people dead. That's it.
Absolutely.
So there you go, Stephen. Very good choice. Gets the nod of approval from the two boys in here. Right, we'll be back in a second. We'll be talking superhero films. Right, welcome back to the Podacy. We're now going to be talking superhero films in honour of, let me get the title right, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool and Wolverine, which is showing at the Odyssey over the next month. We're going to be talking superhero films. There's a lot of them. Roberto, got favourites, got a view?
Yeah, there is a lot, and then there's been obviously been a lot about superhero fatigue, and I think one of the interesting things about Deadpool and Wolverine is there's been this kind of expectation that it's mm-hmm. kind of the one to deliver the death blow to that, like to either like bring it back or maybe even to like kind of solidify that maybe with his fourth wall breaks we can kind of, you know, start to see fresh spins on them possibly.
Absolutely, and save the box office.
Yeah,
you know it's got a lot of expectations just surrounding it, not entirely even based on the film, just on expectations, I think, and about it, because it is a huge, the anticipated hit.
And the Deadpool films are really good, aren't they? They were properly different. The first one felt really like almost kind of quite naughty, like he was making fun of his paymasters almost.
When the first Deadpool was coming out, I was already kind of into the character because I had a friend who, like, he came in and told me one day, he was like, you know, in X-Men Origins Wolverine, the guy you see at the end with the swords in his arms, he's actually not like that in the comics, he's way cooler. And then that started this, like, obsession with him, just, like, looking, oh, Deadpool in this video game, this is awesome. So when I finally got to see it, I was, like, very into it. And when I rewatched them recently, in preparation for the third one, I still enjoyed them. I was like, I always go in with this. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to enjoy it as much. Mm. Nah, it's so much fun to just watch him continually, like, kind of chat to you as the film's going on. I don't know what it is.
And I mean, I think I know what it is. It's probably Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he is really. He's so good.
He's so, like, at such a star, he's always wanted to play Deadpool or Wade Wilson. And, you know, obviously had his chance to begin with in X-Men Origins Wolverine, where he played a version of that character.
The bad version.
Is that where it starts? Yeah. So he was, like, in an early one, was he? Is that what happened?
Yeah, there was a film called X-Men Origins Wolverine, which was released in between, like, the original X-Men trilogy and the newer trilogy. So, like, the James McAvoy versus Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, Professor X's. Yeah. Which was explaining the sort of the origin of Wolverine and his days in the Rockies. And, you know, he's got a brother, Sabretooth, and they, you know, survived many wars. Da, da, da. Anyway, they introduced Ryan Reynolds later on in, like, a task force, something like that. And then he says, oh, I'm some people call me Deadpool. And that's really all the exposition you get on that, really. And then it turns into a bigger plot thing later on where he's then, you know, he goes through the experiment and becomes Deadpool.
I think the infamous thing about it was Deadpool's nickname is the Merc with the Mouth, and then the studio decided it would be a really good idea to literally sew his mouth shut on the character. And they thought that was really clever, and there's a quote from Ryan Reynolds where he's like, I told them, like, people would go nuts over this, and they were like, people are going to love this. And he was like, no, I meant nuts as in people are going to hate this. And they did, but
of course
he got his redemption in the end.
So superhero films, I mean, there's an awful lot of them. What give us one of your favourites, Roberto.
I mean, I think I've got a solidified favourite because it's just one I continuously come back to. It's probably one of my favourite films, actually, but it is because it is the progenitor of everything we have now, which is Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. I feel like it's kind of an obvious one now, I think, but like I remember it's definitely accrued more popularity now, especially because I guess the younger generation has grown up and appreciated those films for a long time. But I think the criticism you make about those films is the campiness, but for me, that is what I love in that film.
So which Spider-Man are we talking here?
This is the first Tobey Maguire one.
Oh, Tobey Maguire. Oh, yeah. Okay, way so, back. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
directed by Sam Raimi, who previously did Evil Dead. And I think another great thing is you can see the horror influence so clearly on those like first three Spider-Man films. And particularly in that first one, there's campiness, but there's loads of heart, and it gets really gnarly at points, particularly with that final fight with the Green Goblin. I don't know if you remember that, but there's lots of sets getting crashed through.
Is it Willem Dafoe?
Indeed yes. It is, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And, I mean, it kind of shows you how good they already got it in that first film that they had to, like, bring him back for Spider-Man No Way Home. Everyone knows that at this point. I think, like, even Marvel put that on posters and stuff. The Statue of Limitations has passed. it kind of really proves you how good they got it. Just so much style, so much substance. I think that's what's missing. Either one or the other is missing from superhero films nowadays, it feels like. Yeah. It's either one that feels really bland with the filmmaking, or you get one that has zero substance to it.
You said camp, style, and what? Flashiness or something like darkness?
Heart, gnarliness.
Gnarly. What you've basically described without the film attachment is a comic book.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that Spider-Man, the first one, when you look back on it, I mean, at the time, we're talking, 24 years ago now that came out, that film. And I was a kid, so obviously I was just Spider-Man involved and loving Spider-Man the hero. And it's just... It manages to really capture like the essence of a comic book, is that it's knowing that sort of like the good guy saves the day but has so many like hits and, you know, turns surrounding him. Obviously Uncle Ben and that origin really hits.
There's always a bit of doubt as well, isn't there? There's always a moment where the superhero wishes he didn't have the powers or could be normal.
Which is why one of my favourite superhero movies is Spider-Man 2. Because on level, that's why I was like, oh... Because on the level as well, Spider-Man 2 is like the most perfect superhero sequel also, I believe. Because, you know, halfway through the movie, he loses his powers. And you sort of doubt Peter Parker and what he can do. And he also, you know, doubts himself and what he thinks is like right for him to lead the family life or to lead a life that he's selfless. So that's great. Like, I think they're very like... you know, it really presents the light and the dark in a way that sort of meets in the middle at the end. But then the third one, I don't know.
I'm gonna say I like the third one. I think it's really overstuffed and it's got way too many villains. But there's still, like I said, there's still that style, and I think you could see Sam Raimi's like vision. It's trying to come through, and it doesn't quite get there. But I do. I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy watching it. And I will say it, the Peter Parker dance through the street, it's aged really well. I think it's funny. Right. I think it was supposed to be funny at the time, and it is, and it still is funny.
At the time, it was funny. Now they've taken so much, like, the mickey out of it so much that I just can't help but cringe whenever I see it.
So Spider-Man, the early ones, gets the nod. Tobey Maguire, now not an actor anymore. He's like a professional poker player or something, mad. Do you know this?
No.
Yeah, so Tobey Maguire...
To be honest, the last thing I saw him do was just shouting at paparazzi to go and get out of here.
Yeah, so weirdly he stopped acting. Presumably Spider-Man paid an awful lot. Yeah. And he's now just like a professional high-rolling poker player.
I think it was... there was that film Molly's Game that came out. It had Idris Elba, Jessica Chastain, and I don't know if this is correct because I haven't seen it, but wasn't like Michael Cera's character in that?
Based on
really?
Tobey Maguire, I think.
Because I know the Molly's Game was based on like a true story itself.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So it's. I think that's where I kind of have the knowledge of that from. But yeah.
So that gets the nod. What we said about the Marvel Universe. So speaking as a non-cinema pro who just likes watching films, I feel like they've asked too much of a person with a life to keep up with what's going on there.
Person with a life. I watch these films. Hello.
But what I mean is, you guys are actually in the cinema. You can check them out.
Yeah.
It's like you kind of have a slightly busy 2 months, and there's been another Thor and one where they all get together and a weird little Iron Man thing and some sort of animation which paves over some cracks. And I find it impossible to keep up.
I think that's true. And I think for me, the main problem is, like, you were talking about how all the various adjectives I use that I can't list right now, like, describes a comic book.
Right.
But, like, because they've franchised it so much, because they've banked so much on it being so broad, having such broad appeal, you've actually kind of lost that in a lot of recent comic books. It feels like you're watching a studio film as opposed to, like, the pages of a comic book.
It became a formula.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe after the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
And they kind of, I think they did a good job of hiding that they had it, like, cracked.
No.
And then after Avengers Endgame, yeah, we really have seen some stinkers.
That's the thing, the fam... I think it was all going pretty well. I, myself, am a huge fan of the MCU, and I do find problems with it, but I'm just like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a sucker for punishment because I really just like stick with it. And the Infinity War and Endgame, you know, they're like two-parter and they belong, you know, together. And that was like the pinnacle of the cinematic universe at the time.
Mm.
Endgame being what? It's like the top box office grossing movie of all time too, or at least up there. And then, yeah, I think criticism... of the volume of things. So there's a lot more TV shows now and a lot more films and just all sorts of media that I think people just were like getting fed up with top producers or whatever, just saying, no, this is all lore and this is all canon, so you have to watch everything without saying, no, you don't have to watch this. We just want you to watch it, you know, as they would. But this recently, I mean, Deadpool and Wolverine is probably one of the best things I've seen in that universe since Endgame.
Or yeah, because you've both seen this, by the way, haven't you? You've had a little sneak preview.
I have seen
this.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
So what's it like? Good? Good? Fun?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I do personally think it has a lot for everyone. And I've mentioned this to a few people around work, but when we were showing No Way Home, the first couple that walked through were an 80-year-old St. Albans couple. And I wasn't expecting that. I just so happy with what, I don't know, like what that sort of film can bring that sort of audience
nice.
In. And that's what I sort of want with Deadpool Wolverine. Probably won't, but I think it does have enough for everyone, enough laughs, enough like referential music needle drops and things like that. And I hope it sort of brings that in, you know, and just with all ages. And also just Hugh Jackman being like, he's a star.
He is a star and he just doesn't age.
You have to give him credit.
Absolutely nuts. He's like, he has looked the same age since, well, just for basically the past 20 years, since the Wolverine.
I absolutely agree with you that Sam Raimi in the Spider-Man trilogy has like a lot of to speak for the Marvel Universe. But honestly, rewatching the X-Men trilogy as well, that has a lot Marvel, what we have now. Hugh Jackman has done like 10 appearances as Wolverine. They've never recast his character. He just keeps going. He's had so many like health issues throughout his life and done multiple other like big director movies, like worked with Baz Luhrmann, things like that. Chris Nolan on Prestige. So
great
He's had such a like influential career. And I will say it is a little bit of a shame that people only see him as sort of Wolverine, but he is like the one and only. He's like the one and only, like Chesney Hawke says.
Yeah. So here's a question about superhero films, right, as well. And I don't know if Deadpool and Wolverine is like this. Some of them seem unnecessarily long for the subject matter, almost unapologetic. So I went to see, you know, the Ben Affleck Batman Superman one.
Oh, yeah.
And I just felt like I was in a cinema for about a year. And even like the newest Robert Pattinson Batman, three, the Avengers ones, even though they come in half, they're so long.
Yeah.
What is that about?
I think it's a few reasons. I think one, streaming has meant that longer runtimes are more viable. It means like people could still get views for a film, by someone clicking on it on Disney Plus, and then maybe it's an hour and a half and there's an hour left. Someone could just pause that, come back to it later. As well, I think, I don't know how true this is, but I think there was, like, back in the day, you'd want to aim for a shorter runtime so you could play it more throughout the day in a cinema. Whereas now, again, streaming, it, if it goes to that pretty quick anyway, you don't really have to worry about that as much.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And yeah, I think definitely audiences are now, like, more accustomed to it. I think with the Batman in particular, it was because it was trying to emulate, like, a detective film as opposed to, like, a campy comic book. So they were able to just be like, this is like our version of Seven with Batman in. It's 3 hours long. Here you go.
What were we saying about Batman? I've pretty much enjoyed all the Batmans. I'm not so sure about Ben Affleck, but I've always enjoyed, since the Michael Keaton one, I've enjoyed pretty much all of the Batmans, I think.
I think I'm passionate about Batman as a character. I feel like actually revisiting the films, a lot of them leave me with something to be desired in some form or fashion. Mm. Like, obviously, I think The Dark Knight is a great film, but like it also doesn't feel like much of a comic book film. It doesn't have that, like, doesn't have all of the previous adjectives, blah, 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 go back.
Yeah.
But then there's the Tim Burton Batman, which feels exactly like just pulp and craziness, but there's a slight lacking in substance. Though I do enjoy both of those films a lot. I'm more familiar with Batman from, like, playing the... The Arkham video games are really good. I don't know if you...
I have played the Arkham games. Yeah, I was going to say, actually, I think the amount of times where I've encountered Batman, not just through the movies, but comics, games, they even do Audible short stories.
I've heard some of those. They're very good. Yeah.
Audiobooks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Batman's obviously a very popular icon in comic books all over the place. And I think that... I'm a fan of the films. Obviously, there are some that stick out like a sore thumb because, you know, not for the best of reasons, I believe. Like Batman and Robin, George Clooney's Batman movie.
See, I could see that film being, like, reevaluated as actually being, like, really fun, and because it's like the most campy.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
I think you can definitely watch it with that lens, but, like, personally, even going into that lens, I was just like. There's something not clicking here. Maybe it's just the script is, like, all over the place for me or something. I'm just not...
I did want to mention, though, with that, I mean, I do think the Batman and Robin is a weak movie. But as sort of time to move on, I do believe that, not due to Marvel, but there are different ways we can look at a character. So yeah. I know, for instance, like, Batman has a new series coming out pretty soon. And that's completely animated... set in like a 40s noir.
Yeah, it's got like the Gotham. Art Deco thing going on, hasn't it?
Yeah. And they said they were influenced by German Expressionism in that too.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like, I think there's so many ways you can sort of see a character being done. Chris Nolan, obviously, that trilogy stands out. I think overall, I just mean to say that he is a great character. He's a very complex, like... Mm. Character. Bob Kane pulled it out of the bag on that one.
Absolutely. Him, yeah.
Bob Kane and Bill Finger, because there's a discrepancy with, like,
all right.
It's just like, I know.
No, if you know, I don't
discrepancy
know.
There where people were like, ages Bob Kane was it, but actually Bill Finger as well. But anyway,
good to know, man.
The key word apparently, I'm getting my wires crossed. The key word that you mentioned there, I think, is interpretation with, like, I think that comes to all down to all comic book characters.
Yeah.
I think the key is to, like, keep reinterpreting them like you would, like, I think this comparison has been made loads, but, like, mythical heroes consistently get, like, reinterpreted. Like, Robin Hood gets reinterpreted all the time.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the key is to keep, like, reinventing these superheroes in interesting ways. That's how an audience will continue to find enjoyment in them.
Zack Snyder also said, I mean, this is probably a little bit of an aside, but he did say recently in the interview that he always looked at making like his DC movies as sort of like movies about gods and titans.
Yeah.
And that's probably I don't know, self-absorbed. But also, I think what he was meaning to say is like, interpretation in the way, like, maybe back in the day there was a myth... I don't know, she's very like out of touch, but there was a myth about a man in the dark that had, you know,
building on folklore.
Yeah. And yeah, building
a bit like Father
up.
Christmas, everyone's got a kind of same but different version of him around the place. I believe so.
And like even Batman is kind of a reinterpretation of Zorro, which in a lot of versions of Batman is what he was watching when he came out of the cinema with his parents, and then bang bang.
That's cool.
So yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Batman gets the nod, Spider-Man gets the nod. Right, chaps, unbelievably, we're coming to the end, but what we'll do is we'll take a little break there. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple of things coming up at the Odyssey. I'll just give you one quick Batman fact, actually, about the Michael Keaton films. First 12, everyone knows that. Do you know that was the first film where somebody got a merchandising deal instead of paid? So Jack Nicholson, very shrewdly, said, don't pay me for being the Joker. I'll take a cut of any of the stuff you sell with the Batman.
Yeah.
Right.
And then just the whole world bought like rucksacks, lunchbox, posters, toys, and it kept going for just, so Jack Nicholson.
That's a Jack, you could see a Jack Nicholson character doing something like
that. Like the Joker.
Yeah. What a good Joker he is. Right, we're going to take a break and then we'll come back and find what's coming up to the Odyssey in the next part. Right, chaps, so incredibly, we've entered the last section already. It just does go quick.
Flies by.
When you're talking Spider-Man, Batman, and all things superheroes.
Swings by, should I say.
It does swings by, yeah. Yeah. I was going to do something about your web there, but it makes absolutely no sense. So we have got time to talk about what's coming up at the Odyssey in the next month. So obviously Deadpool and Wolverine, hence the discussion. People can go and see that. I would imagine there's a few showings of that going on.
So we've got our first on the 30th and 31st of August, and then it will be playing through into September. Continuing. As well. So yeah, you've got a few chances to watch that.
Yeah, nice. I definitely think it's quite popular already. Tickets are selling pretty well, I believe, for Deadpool and Wolverine, which is nice to see anyway. Yeah.
I'm gonna definitely head over and see it probably one of these Friday afternoons. Nicholas, what else are you particularly looking forward to? There's obviously a full listings page on your website, which point out people can find out absolutely everything.
Absolutely.
Give us a quick one that you're looking forward to.
A couple of things that I'm looking forward to personally. So a few sessions ago, we did talk about soundtracks, and I talked about Ennio Morricone's soundtrack to Cinema Paradiso. We have shown it a few times at the Odyssey. But
you do like talking about Cinema Paradiso.
I love it. How did you find it, Neil?
I really enjoyed it. Like I was saying to you, what I loved about it, it's like you're just jumping in a bathroom. It's like you just enter the whole vibe of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily about the story or anything. It's just you live in their world the time you watch the film. I really enjoyed it.
And if you haven't been away on holiday this month, I mean, come and see it. It is like taking a miniature holiday. As well as the lovely, touching storyline in the middle, it has great... Oh, it's just iconic. Like, for me, I just love it.
Are you doing the projection stuff as well for it?
Well, you know what? I projected the trailer the other day and I teared up. I was like, no, I can't believe it.
I had to give you a shout out on the speech because I was like, I'm going to tell people Cinema Paradiso's on there. I was like, oh, Nick's in the box. Hello.
Yeah, I feel like it's your film now. Like, if I were to watch it at the Odyssey, I'd probably applaud you at the end.
If I'm projecting Cinema Paradiso... That is like, I don't know why, it's so sad, but that's going to be like top tip.
Yeah, goal achieved. Yeah, what else is there? What else is left to accomplish?
I've forgotten this guy's name already, but I am that bloke from Cinema Paradiso. I just hope I don't go blind. Spoilers.
Got that out.
Yeah. We've also got one of my favourite movies, The Goonies.
Oh, great film.
Coming up in August. That's on Thursday the 8th at 7:30.
That is such a good film.
Awesome film. I mean... Come on. It's just really charming and really sweet. Similar in the vein of how I mentioned like Riddle of Fire. It's like coming of age tale and it's just got that really like nice backdrops and, you know, he didn't direct it, but Steven Spielberg was all over it as well.
It's really got that feel to it, like Stranger Things-y type gang of brave kids type.
Yeah, if you see Stranger Things or anything that's even remotely 80s related now, The Goonies did it first.
It's also really clever, isn't it? Because it's you can definitely take kids to it. It's just scary enough for them to get a bit uncomfortable, but then it's all okay. It's just scary enough. It's clever.
Yeah, it changed. I believe it changed. It's 12A now, which I don't think it was before. But Yeah, I mean, obviously that's all changed anyway, certification and stuff like that. But I highly recommend it. If you've never seen it, there's no other place you can watch it on the big screen except for The Odyssey.
There you go, Thursday the 8th.
Thursday the 8th. Roberto?
Yeah, there's a few I'm looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to seeing Thelma, which we're showing on the 13th at 12:30 and the 14th at 7:30. So this is a film about a 90-year-old woman who is scammed by people online, and she sets out to get her money back and take revenge against
the
people who scammed her.
That is such a good idea.
It's got June Squibb, who I'm not familiar with, but I know she's been in like a few like kind of indie darlings. And it's got Richard Roundtree. I think he passed away recently, but he was the original Shaft. So they kind of form like a duo to go and take it out. I saw the trailer the other day. I was already excited. But I saw a trailer and it looks like it's going to be, you know, lots of fun, really funny. I like action films. And I kind of like how it's using that premise, but with a 90-year-old woman. I'm not going into it expecting her to be like pulling out two pistols
guns blazing
and diving around.
No.
If she is, best movie. But I'm looking forward to that. And apparently it's also quite poignant. It's got like a bit of a kind of actually a kind of an analysis on the situation as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
That sounds so good, by the way.
Yeah, I highly recommend that. Star Wars. Might as well.
Yes,
say
you're showing Star Wars. Yeah, tell me about this.
Yeah, so we begin on Sunday the 25th at 12:30, and we've also got another showing on the 29th at 7:30 with Star Wars Episode 4 A New Hope. So the original, but we will be playing Empire and Return of the Jedi after this.
Mm-hmm.
But Episode 4 is actually like rewatching it recently. Actually really enjoy it. It's definitely like my second favorite, I think.
Yeah.
And it's the full original. It's kind of mad that it's called Episode 4. I get why it is, but it's the very first
Star Wars.
People queue around the block made a star of Harrison Ford Star Wars. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. It will be the special editions of the films we should point out, but I think it's also like the chances of seeing those again in the cinema, even it will be very rare. So I highly recommend coming down to see it. Who doesn't love Star Wars? Well, I shouldn't say that. There's going to be someone like, I don't like Star Wars, but you suck. Go away.
I've got to say, I know you two can't say it, but The Odyssey is great for that. Like, the Goonies and Star Wars at your local cinema, that's impressive. That's impressive.
Yeah, we'll remain really modest about that.
So there you go, chaps. I know I say this every time. That's the end. I don't know where the time goes. I really don't. Like, I feel like we came into the studio about 5 minutes ago, but it's already
honestly,
time to finish.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it? I've enjoyed it as always. I think the only way we can finish today, obviously we always do our bad impressions of an outro, I think it's got to be Batman. There's just no other way we can do this. So who wants to go first?
Not me. I'll go.
Okay.
Nicholas, you
first. I think we're just going to have to do Christian Bale, aren't we?
What else could you do?
There's no other way.
Yeah, he's got
the
classic
Batman
vault.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. See you soon.
That was actually good.
Bad.
Oh my god,
it's not
okay,
bad.
I'm not topping that. So
not bad.
Okay, hold on. That was pretty chill, Christian Bale. But I've always been a fan of more irate Christian Bale Batman. Okay. So here's my interpretation of that.
Nice.
Might even have to back away from the mic for this.
Hi, Batman. No, I'm a Bowser podcast. No,
that's actually Doctor Doom. I don't even know. That's Doctor Claw. That went from Batman to Doctor Claw real quick.
I can't tell you what that was.
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind
again,
it.
I'm sorry about that.
No, I didn't mind it.
This is the podcast Gotham needs right now. Next month, Gotham needs this. It needs a symbol, and this podcast is that symbol.
Okay, you may have been talking. That was actually.
I mean, it was the best of an awful bunch. Yeah. Right, thank you so much, chaps. Nicholas, thanks so much. Say goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Roberto, thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye, guys.
Thank you for listening, all. Thanks for listening. If you want to drop us a line here with The Podyssey, you can email me at neil.rodger@mix926.com with your thoughts on the show, your views on the films we've talked about, and if you're feeling brave, you could do our next intro or set our next final challenge. You can find out all about What's On at the Odyssey or what's going on with Mix 92.6 FM by checking out the websites and searching them on all the socials, where they can both be found.